This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
And a very good Saturday morning to you. Welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani on this side of the glass. Matt Harkins is on the other side. He'll be taking your calls at 412-928-9370. By now, you know the drill. Call, air your opinions. If you'd like to do it on the Fan text line, that is brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And the Fan Twitter site is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. So Donnie just got done. It's Bucko week, first week coming up in Miami. They start against the Marlins on Thursday. Paul Skeens on the mound. I guess this would be a good time to ask all of you out there your thoughts about the Pirates coming in, and I expect that most people are going to be in the boat of, once again, a bad season. But if you can paint for me a picture of how they might be competitive in what I think is just an average division, because that's what the National League Central is, an average division. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. What will it take? For my view, it would be, you know, excellent starting pitching first and foremost, always season long. Get that into the sixth and seventh inning. Keep it tight. And then the bats will be the story, or lack of bats. Most likely it'll be like lack of bats. They haven't done a lot to try to help their offense, which sorely needs help. Outside of the St. Louis Cardinals, which was a team that didn't do anything either, the Pirates were, just kind of non-existent when it came to free agency. They didn't do much to add to their team. So they're going to have to come up with big hits and big situations to help a pitching staff that I think will carry them this season. And this does not, of course, count the latest on Jarred Jones, who had that elbow soreness. They're still waiting on a diagnosis for that. I suspect he won't be around to start the season. But how long will he be out? And that's a devastating blow for a team that counted on him in year two to be better than he was in year one, which was really good for a rookie at 22 years of age. We'll get into that. Also want to talk, and I should congratulate Penn State Wrestling. They're closing on their fourth straight Division I wrestling championship. This is unbelievable. Kale Sanderson up there has done a wonderful job. They've won it in 12 of 14 years. They've had 10 All-Americans this year. It's the first time since 2001 that any wrestling team in college has done that. They're just a factory. But also a shout-out to Max Stout of Pitt. He became an All-American at 197. Had an interesting match the other night against his brother, and Mac won that one. So Congrats to him. Pitt should be a pretty competitive team once again next year as three of their top wrestlers are coming back. 412-928-9370. Riverhounds will be in action at home tonight against Hartford. It's their debut at home. Check them out. I think it's a team that has some unfinished business. They've been to the playoffs 7 years in a row. Maybe this is the year they win it all. They're going to be one of the teams that I think most people in the Eastern Conference think are going to be there at the end. We'll see how far they can get into it. But they take on Hartford. That's at 7 o'clock at Highmark Stadium. NCAA tournament going big. I think one of the big marquee matchups today, the one that I want to watch, is Patino and Calipari with St. John's and Arkansas. Those two guys have done a very good job. Combined wins over the years, almost 1,800. Combined Final Four appearances, 13 of those. Two guys who've been around a long time, and they know how to coach. Arkansas has a very good team, but they have some injuries that will affect them. St. John's struggled early on in their game on Thursday night, but they came out strong in the second half. That's a team that can beat you a lot of different ways, too, and they like to push the pace a little bit. So Rick Pitino is the number two seed against Arkansas. That one will be one of the big games that you watch today. Overall, Robert Morse, I thought, has played one of the better games you're going to find. 90-81 loss, I know, to Alabama, but Alabama was a blue blood kind of team in terms of where they are, number two seed. Robert Morris plays so well as a team, and I thought they really kept it tight most of the way, and that's what you're supposed to do if you're one of those 15 seeds. Keep it tight, and then hope at the end you get a couple of breaks. Well, they did when they took a lead with six-some minutes left. It was 65-64, but that lead lasted 30 seconds. Alabama at that point kind of asserted themselves, flexed their muscles, and the talent rose in that final 6 minutes, and that was the difference of that game. But Andy Toole and company did a heck of a job this year, winning the Horizon League regular season and tournament championships, and then getting on and almost pulling a big upset. And Matt Harkins, there were no upsets, really, to speak of. McNeese State would probably be it, but if you look at the one seeds, the two seeds, the three seeds, and the four seeds, none of them lost in the first 2 days of this event. Normally, there you see three or four of them. But that's the way it is.
Yeah, it was just Colorado State and McNeese State, like you said, were the big upsets. Like, I had Clemson in the Final Four, and I regretted that.
A lot of people had that.
2 minutes into the game. McNeese just dominated that game.
And they came back at the end, but it was too little too late. When you dig a big hole, the bad things can only happen to you. But, of course, the news that most people were talking about is that Aaron Rodgers appeared in Pittsburgh this week. And he met with the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, Arthur Smith, Tom Arthur, quarterback coach. So a lot of people believe that this is going to happen. A lot of people are not so hot on this idea. But it suggests, I think, to me, that Aaron Rodgers is still engaged in playing. If he were thinking about retirement, he probably wouldn't do this. But at the same time, I don't know if the Steelers, depending on the money, and I don't know how much they've really offered. Most people believe it's a one-year deal for maybe in the $30 million range. We'll see. They need help there. They only have Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson so far. They likely will draft somebody in the middle rounds. I don't think it'll be in the first round, but we'll see how that goes. But certainly, interesting dynamic. And one thing I will say, if he comes into town, every day will be sort of a circus, and it will certainly keep talk shows alive and well for the coming season. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I want to hear from you about that. And we're getting closer to the NFL draft. And keep in mind that a year from now, we're going to be talking about the Pittsburgh NFL draft. First time ever coming to Pittsburgh for an entire week. They're expecting a ton of people to be in town for that. Not just people from Pittsburgh, but all around this area. And I'm sure it's going to be a spectacle. And maybe that's the year. I keep thinking they're going to draft their quarterback of the future next year. Because I don't know if they're going to be in a position this year unless they move up, based on what people are telling you. Unless somebody falls, and that could happen as well. 412-928-9370, the number to call here. So all those topics are fine by me. If you'd like to get into them, please call. And you can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. But back to the tournament. It's interesting when you start looking at some of these numbers, conferences. The SEC had 14 teams make it. And we thought at the time that was a little bit too much. And maybe it was based on how some of these numbers are looking, because the SEC in their first two rounds have gone 8-6. So six of their teams have been eliminated already. And that's what happens when you have a lot of teams in there, especially the bottom half of that. So Big Ten is the team that really, the conference that's really rolling here. They're 8-0. Big 12, 6-1. The Big East, 4-2. The ACC is 2-3, and that counts a play-in win by North Carolina. But I think they revealed themselves in the second opportunity to play. They weren't very good. Duke is the team that's left, and a lot of people have Duke winning it all. And we did see Cooper Flagg play in that game, so obviously he is healthy enough to go, and that's a big thing for them. They need him to be at their very best as they move on into this tournament. Penguins won a game last night also. Alex Nedeljkovic had one of the best saves you'll see pretty much all season long. It was an arm save late in the game, and quite frankly, Columbus was the better team, I thought, last night. They threw 48 shots on the Penguins, 45 saved by Nedeljkovic. The one that really comes to mind is the arm save where he sprawled on the ground like Dominik Hasek, and he somehow made the save. It was an initial whiff by a Columbus player, and then he did get it on goal, but Nedeljkovic was there to make that save. He's a gritty goaltender, but he's very streaky, and when the streaks go bad, it's not a good place to be. But at least the Penguins have won 5 of 6 now. I don't know what that means. That may hurt them in the chances of getting what they need in the lottery in terms of chances of getting a number one pick, but they're playing better. They have a good test coming up on Sunday as they visit the defending champs. That would be the Florida Panthers. 412-928-9370. Let's go to the phone lines now. Call and air your opinions. We got George in Manesson. Hello, George. What's up?
Bob, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Getting any swings in yet?
Well, not around here, but I did have a chance to go out west and play at Pebble Beach, which was like a very big bucket list thing for me. So that was really great. And if you haven't done that, George, you should do that.
Yeah, that's a bucket list thing for real, huh? Regarding the quarterback, here's my take on this, and I'm sure this has maybe been brought up before. Until we change the offensive philosophy of this run first, throw a little bit, let the defense, win the game at the end, we're not adjusting to the way the league's offenses are. And I think it has a lot to do with Tomlin and maybe even Rooney, because we want to play the old Steeler way. And that's just not cutting it. And I don't care what quarterback you have back there. If you don't run the right system and you're predictable, and then you put a lot of money in your defense, and then last year our defense gave up a lot of points. It's like, you agree that we need to change the offensive philosophy a little bit?
I think they gave you an indication, George, with the acquisition of DK Metcalf, that they want to change it. They want to stretch the field more. They need big-time playmakers, and he is a big-time playmaker. They went really out of their comfort zone in terms of that contract, 5 years, $150 million, right like that. But I like that. I think they need players like that. He's only 27, so that makes total sense to me. But I'm not going to just say that the run game is not an important part of any football team. If you look at the ones that went deep in the playoffs this year, they all had very good run games. Philadelphia led the way, and they're also very good defensively, too. And that's the thing you hit upon right there. For as much money as the Steelers have put into their defense has failed them in critical times. And that's what you really can't do. I mean, it reared its ugly head so many times last year. I remember the game in Philadelphia where Russell Wilson, he fumbled at the 2 yard line or 4 yard line, whatever it was.
To run it in,
Well, they allowed a 96 yard drive right after that, resulting in a touchdown. Yep. That's when your defense has got to help your offense out a little bit. So, the blame from last year is spread all over the place. But yes, their offense needs to be more dynamic without sacrificing the effectiveness of a good run game, because I think that's what sets the stage for you. Not many teams that just throw the ball 50 times a game are going to win a lot. It's the ones that have a good balance but are capable of doing both when the time requires.
Yeah, do you think they'll maybe look at defensive line in the draft?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think their first-round pick will probably be a defensive lineman. Either that or wide receiver. I still think they need a wide receiver, because the part of the puzzle that I'm not sure of at this point is what happens with George Pickens. Is he here? Do they trade him? Does he want to be here? Does he ask for a trade? And if that's the case, then they're going to need somebody else. And you may need it anyway, because next year he'll be gone if they're not interested in giving him big money. And if you give one guy $150 million, you can't afford two. And you could look at Cincinnati and say, well, they did. I'm not so sure that's the best move for Cincinnati. Sure, it's nice to keep Higgins and Chase together with Burrow, but if you could have traded Higgins and gotten something to help your defense, which is really bad, and they were real bad last year too, so they need to get better on defense, or else they're going to have to play these high-scoring games week in and week out.
Yeah, and they got rid of Hendrickson and a few of their defense.
Well, I think they're still trying to sign him, but if they give a lot of money there, you got to have a whole bunch of money tied up in four players. And that makes it difficult when it comes to depth.
Well, definitely going to be a key draft this year. So.
Oh, no doubt about it. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling at 412-928-9370. John in Delmont is on the line, and now he's on the Fan. Hello, John.
Hi, Bob. How are you today, sir?
Doing well, thank you. How are you? John?
What I want to talk about real quick is baseball. And I'm one of a few guys that was actually at the 1960 World Series when a whole lot of people were claimed to be. But I got a seat with my father because it was behind a pole. And they couldn't sell that seat. But anyway, have you ever heard of Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and Claude Osteen and Al Downing?
Yep, all really good pitchers. Why do you bring them up?
Because that's the way the Pirates can win this year. They have the pitching, and the Los Angeles Dodgers in, I believe it was 1963, with guys like Maury Wills, bunted themselves on base, stole second, got a fly ball to center field. The next thing you knew, the guy was on third base, and they scored a run. And before it was said and done, they were in the World Series, and they had done it with an average, I believe, well, this is true, and you can look it up, of 2.8 runs a game. Now,
well,
when you look at the Pirate offense, that's about what they're worth, 2.8 runs a game. But they had Los Angeles had a good bullpen, and starters, here's the weakness in my conversation. They had starters that went 8 and 9 innings. And in today's baseball, you can't have such a thing.
Well, they just don't do it. They can if they want, and I think Paul Skene should be able to if he so chooses, if he feels good. But yeah, to your point, if you have a good starting pitcher, what you described is small ball. That's what that was. That's what that is. Playing close games, winning close games. But in order to win close games, you still need clutch hitting. Do they have enough on their team to do that? I'm not so sure they do. They have guys who you expect to help. Certainly Cruz, certainly Reynolds. I hope Henry Davis makes the opening day roster and somehow he emerges as somebody that can get his bat going and turn into a 25 home run guy. They need stuff like that. But without it, you're going to lose a lot of those close games as well. So that's the situation there. So thanks for the call. Appreciate that one. In Delmont, 412-928-9370. All right, we're going to keep the lines open here. It's time to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the Steelers more, the Pirates, the Penguins. If you want to talk about this tournament and who you think may still emerge, not a lot of upsets yesterday or the day before, quite frankly. All the ones, the twos, the threes, and the fours advance. No upsets there. What will happen today? Call us at 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show. Right here on Sports Radio 93.7.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st, register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. All right, welcome back. As we continue here on what will be a busy basketball weekend, I want to remind you, though, the Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our Youth Baseball and Softball Showcase presented by Sheetz. Parents and coaches, send an email to us here at the station at youthsports937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 937 The Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. So, yeah, baseball season's in the air. The Pirates will begin on Thursday. Big question surrounding Jared Jones. How bad is this injury? How much time will he miss? He's seeking a second opinion, and the Pirates have not said much other than that. So we'll have to wait, and I would imagine that, you know, you have to set your rosters here pretty soon heading into the first game. It'll be sooner rather than later that we get some more information concerning the health of Jared Jones. In the meantime, Paul Skeens is a guy who wants to pitch 240 innings if necessary. He thinks he can. He thinks he should get the chance. What do you think about that? In this day and age where people control pitch counts religiously, where you get close to 100 and all of a sudden people start talking about what should they do, keep you in. I'm of the belief with him, because he's a big guy and he throws hard, but he has the big frame behind him to help him in that regard. I think if he's willing to go and able to go, if you get to the point where you're in the seventh inning and he's cruising along, and even if it's a more high pitch count than you would expect from him, if Derek Shelton goes out there and says, hey, how do you feel? I'm going to trust what he says. If he says, I can still do this, I want to keep going, I'll let him go. If I see the velocity still there, maybe the pitch count isn't, why not? He's your best option at this point. The bullpen still is sort of a work in progress. So before I get to trust them, I want to see how long I can go with some of my starters. And I know early in the season, it won't be long. You'll learn a lot about your bullpen in the early days of the season because they're going to be worked. Most of these guys are going to go 5 innings until you get into May probably, and then you expand them a little bit, but the bullpen will certainly have a role. And the Pirate bullpen right now is potentially okay. They have some good people there, both righties and lefties who can help out. David Bednar remains a key. And if he can regain what he had in the All-Star season, then that would be a big plus for the Pirates. And that would also make your ninth inning something you can rely on. As of now, it's kind of up in the air. Although they do have some guys who've done well down there. And I'm going to wait how they see, how they utilize some of these guys early in the season. But if I have a chance to move Paul Skeens into 7, 8, 9 innings and he's up to it, I'm just letting him go. I realize that's something that most managers don't want to get into these days, especially with a prized arm like his. However, he's my one asset that I think I got to maximize when I have a chance to maximize him. 412-928-9370, number to call here. So the Pirates, I'm going out on a little bit more optimistic limb this year than I have in the past. I'm looking at the Pirates and I think to myself, this division is not all that good. If they can win some of these games, and I don't know who is going to emerge as clutch on this team, but they're going to have some clutch hitting. But if you can do that, I think, 80 wins, 81, 80, maybe a 500 kind of team. And would that be good enough to be close to a wild card? If they are close in that situation, it will be interesting to see what happens at the trade deadline, because they should by all means add on. If they don't add on and they're close, that tells you a lot about how they feel about this team not yet being able to contend for a playoff. I think the time is now. This is 6 years into this regime. They certainly need to start doing something. And my expectation would be a wild card. If I don't get it, I'd make changes. It's as simple as that. It's time. 412-928-9370. Back to the Steelers. This quarterback situation is going to have to play out here sooner rather than later. They're waiting. I don't know how long you wait. If Aaron Rodgers wants to make you wait for a while, he can. He may go all the way up until the draft with this thing and see what teams do, and there could be a need for a team. Or he can wait until, week 9 of the season. If there are injuries and he makes it aware to everyone that he's out there waiting and he's going to stay in good shape and he'll be available if somebody wants to, he can go that route too. But if they don't do that, you know, I wonder what's next. Russell Wilson is still floating around out there. I don't know where he's going to end up. You saw the Giants last night. They signed Jameis Winston to a two-year deal for $8 million with a potential of getting it up to $16 million. Does that mean they won't be interested in either one of those guys? Probably not. They still need some help. They have the third, I believe, overall pick in the draft, so likely they will draft a quarterback as well. But it makes for a very interesting next couple of weeks for sure. Let's go out to the lines. We got Sean in Imperial joining us right now. Hello, Sean. What's up?
Hey, you taking my call. Hey, Bob, appreciate you taking my call. Just, and I've been on with you a few times in the past, made some predictions, and this time around wanted to kind of get your opinion on something, one that I'm really struggling with and going back and forth on, and that's George Pickens. You know, we all know the history and kind of the baggage that comes along with him, but we also know what his ceiling is and what his potential is. We bring in DK Metcalf, and now if you look at the visits we've had with these draft picks, we brought in some very big wide receivers, the fellow from TCU, the guy from Iowa State. These are 6'4", 6'5", receivers that remind you of George Pickens. What do you think is going to happen with George moving forward, knowing that he is on he has 1 year remaining on his contract? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I've thought all along, Sean, that they're going to trade him. Only because I think he probably sees the writing on the wall, and I don't know if he's going to want to sit around knowing that this year could possibly be his last, and that they brought in DK Metcalf, his numbers might go backwards. I don't think that's going to happen. I think with DK Metcalf here, he should be somebody who takes advantage of that, because most likely teams will try to double up Metcalf, which should create some opportunities for him. So if he's here, he better understand that this is it for him in terms of making a statement for next year. Just go in, have a good year, and then you can put yourself in a prime position to get some free agent dollars. But I still think they're going to need a second-round pick. They traded that away for Metcalf. If they can trade him, get a second and something else potentially in that, second-round pick, whatever, and then draft somebody who could be his replacement, I think that's the more likely scenario you'll see.
I agree. And, in a perfect world, it would be lovely, right? It would be lovely to have DK Metcalf on one side and George Pickens on the other. But I think that's looking through black and gold rose-colored glasses there. And I think the reality is at the end of the season, and I think a big moment was when that report came out from the Chiefs game that Pickens was late to arrive at the stadium. He was late for the inactives, which is a big headache for the coaching staff and the guys internally. And when that – I forget the reporter that asked Tomlin the question, but you could obviously tell that he was – fibbing about this. And I think the headache is finally getting to Mike Tomlin. And right at the end of the year, Dulac was very stern in one of his mailbag questions that it sounded like George was going to be shipped. And if you kind of put everything together, the prediction I'll make to wrap this up, I think the Chargers will end up being the team, a third-round pick out to the Chargers. Appreciate you taking the call,
all
Bob.
All right, Sean. Well, that could very well happen. They certainly have Najee Harris out there now, and I think he's going to have a big year out there. I really do. But I didn't like how he left necessarily. He didn't have to air all his complaints and grievances here. He had every opportunity to do what he had to do. He was the bell cow for the first year, carried the ball over 300 times. He got chances. Their identity was him. And he seemed to think that there wasn't an identity. Does the identity have to change? Probably yes. They have to become more of a pass team in critical situations. And if you look at who the guys they've brought in some of these pre-draft visits, I've counted three wide receivers. I believe Jalen Noel was one of them. He's a guy from Iowa State. Savion Williams was another one from TCU. And there are others. Plus, they brought in plenty of running backs. So you get the indication that aside from tackle, that they're going to be looking defensive tackle, they're going to be looking at offensive players as well. And that could lay the groundwork to a trade for George Pickens. Again, most of this, I think, will happen in and around the draft where teams are together and you can make these kinds of calls. Let's go out to Dan in Imperial. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks.
Excellent. Tell me if this would work. Forget Rodgers. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of the whole deal. Sign Joe Flacco. Bring in J.K. Dobbins. and then draft Jackson Dart. And we still have money left.
Flacco's a possibility if things don't work out here, just because he's available. And if, you know, if he's going to be a backup, or who knows, maybe he'll emerge as a starter. But he throws a lot of interceptions, and I know that Mike Tomlin is not keen on risk-taking necessarily, which needs to change a little bit because they have to take more risks if they're going to be successful in offense, I think. But, yeah, that's a possibility. Rodgers holds the key at this point. We'll see what he does. Will they draft somebody in the first round? If so, Dan, I don't know if they have to wait around the 21. They may have to move up to do it.
Yeah, he's moving. Dart's moving up the boards.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's guaranteed anything. I've seen guys come and go like that where they move up and then they're not as good as you thought. Others have fallen and they're better than you think. And it's really a crapshoot. Despite all the information they have on these guys, you're really not sure how they're going to handle. Although he seems to be capable of dealing with stressful situations when there's pressure. He uses his legs to create areas where he can get to and throw the ball. So he's always looking down the field, which I like. But he has made some bad decisions in critical games too, like a lot of these kids. All right, Dan, thank you. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Moving along to Guy in California who wants to talk some baseball. Hello, Guy.
Hi, good morning. Hey, Bob, real quick, just, you know, I love your Saturday shows. Your shows with Joe, there was, I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize when you talked about the microplastics and the chronic Lyme disease, those were two important things you talked about when he's talking about his peanut butter and and plastic. But real quick, I just got back from Las Vegas. And a bunch of us Pittsburgh guys like to get together and put, you know, futures bets throughout the year. And one of the futures prop bets was on, it seemed crazy to me, Skeens winning 10.5 games at a minus 115. And it, what am I missing here? I mean, last year.
Are you sure you saw that right? 10 games? Because he won 11 last year.
I got the ticket in my hand. Yes, I got the ticket in my hand. That's why I'm saying it's crazy. Last year he's 11-3. He didn't start till the second week of May. I mean, and people even say, no, this is a bad bet. I said, what are you guys? No, I'm asking you, and this is my question. Are we all living a mass delusion, or is Las Vegas getting it wrong?
Well, if they're having that as the prop bet, then that tells me that they think the Pirates are not going to be able to hit, and he's going to have a lot of no decisions, probably. I would make that bet in a heartbeat, though. I think he's going to be easily past 11 wins. Again, it takes the entire team to help. I get that, but yeah, I would take that bet. I hope you did.
Yeah, we put a few Benjamins on.
I would have put a lot more Benjamins than a few if that's the case. 10 sounds – I would have expected a number like 13, you know, or 14.
Well, we were going even higher. We were looking at 16 or 17.
Well, I don't think it'll get that high just because of the offense and the problems they have on offense. But I do think 10 is very achievable, although those guys out there know what they're doing.
Right, and I think, you know, people are talking about the sophomore jinx, injury problems.
Well, you can't factor that in. If it happens like that, then there's nothing you can do about it. But if he's healthy and he gets his share of starts, I can't see him not winning 10 games.
Well, okay, thanks. I feel a little bit better now, Bob.
All right, Guy. Have a good one. I think you made a nice futures bet there, and if it's still available, those of you out there who like Paul Skeens should probably make it. Although that seems awfully low. I would expect 13. John joins us right now on the cell. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning. It's afternoon. Sorry, Bob.
That's all right. It could be morning or night somewhere like that. I don't even know. It confuses me, too.
A couple things Steeler-wise. My honest opinion, I think we need to move past worrying about the Rodgers stuff. I don't think it's a very good idea. And two, I think the Steelers have an opportunity right now with Metcalf on the one side and Pickens on the other, at having possibly two close to 1,000-yard receivers there. Number one, you're going to have – they're either going to double-team Metcalf or double-team Pickens. You can't double-team both. But if you think – if Wilson is there, he's familiar with Metcalf, and also Mason's familiar with Pickens. So I think, my opinion, they stick with Mason – and in the draft, they work on finishing, solidifying their defensive line, and maybe their offensive line, draft another receiver there, and wait till next year for a quarterback. And I think they need to stop maybe holding back on the quarterback and letting them air the ball out a little bit more instead of running on first and second down.
Well, I agree with that. I think they need to mix things up a lot more. But to your point, if you had both Pickens and Metcalf here together, it's one of the reasons why – I really like still Justin Fields to be your quarterback, just because of all the attention those receivers, if they go down the field and go patterns, they take people with them, they create openings. If you're a Justin Fields, you should be able to hit checkdowns or run with much more freedom. And that's the thing, the element that he has that I don't think any of these other quarterbacks have. And I would have gone, as I said before, with him for 2 years and then draft. I think you're onto something about drafting a quarterback next year. You're going to have more opportunities. And while some of these guys still have a whole another year to show you what they have, the potential for quality and quantity at the quarterback position is bigger next year.
Right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, John, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370 is the number. You can hit us up also on Twitter. Mine is at KD Pomp. I want to remind you about the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. We're on every Sunday night, 11:35, KDK TV. We have a lot to get into this week, of course, and we'll do that tomorrow night on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. Thank you to number one Cochran for being one of our primary sponsors. Go one better, ride in style with number one Cochran. PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And, you know, it's kind of chilly outside. You want to go indoors and hit some golf balls? Try 9 Yards Golf Lounge in Washington County. Great place to hang out and watch sports while hitting some golf balls. All right, that's going to do it for that segment. When we come back, more open phone calls, 412-928-9370 right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Back with more on this Saturday morning. A lot of interesting stuff going on. We got a text here from Greg Lenzi. Actually, tweet, I should say. You can hit me up at KD Pomp. He says, Pirates made a big mistake getting rid of Priester and Ortiz. Pitching was their superpower and the only chance they could win, and they just lost it. Well, they have some other guys, and yeah, I agree, especially if Spencer Horwitz doesn't do what he's supposed to do. But there are a lot of people I've talked to who really like what this kid can do once he gets in there. And, of course, he's been out, hasn't been at spring training, and so I don't know when we'll see him. But I wonder what the Pirate plan is at first base moving into this week. If he turns out to be a good hitter for them, consistent hitter, he doesn't have to be somebody who has 25 home runs, but drive in runs. Just get on base, do some things, be clutch when he has to be clutch. He plays a pretty good brand of defense at first. Then the Ortiz deal will make sense. If not, then that's a pitcher they could have used in this year's rotation as well. All right, let's go out to Anthony in Oakland, who joins us right here on the Fan Hotline. Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Thank you, Bob. Bob, the Steelers just need to focus on Mason Rudolph at this point, and then a young draft pick or get another quarterback that's out there to back them up. If Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he doesn't come all the way in town and then leave without a contract. So I
thought the same thing. I think that's because 6 hours spent there, I thought for sure there would be a decision at the end of it. So what does that mean to you?
That means he's not coming.
And that means what? He's going someplace else or retiring?
They've been talking on video. They had all that. All that should have been signed, sealed, delivered if he comes flying into town. He flew into town and he left without a contract. So, hello, Bob.
Yeah. I mean,
No, I'm sorry. Something happened. So, everything went dead. I think that's where the Steelers need to focus and move on as an organization. They screwed this whole quarterback situation up. Move on now. And think of it as this, Bob. It's like having a rookie quarterback in that contract. You can build around the team now. Build around the team. You got Mason on a very team friendly contract. Go get another veteran to back him up, and then look for either in this year's draft or next year's. But just move on from this situation. Fix that defensive line.
Well, I would have said that regardless of who was, you know, if Justin Fields was a quarterback, I would have said that. I still think that's friendly money, and you can build around the whoever that may, and there's going to be an eventual successor. They're going to draft somebody here, whether it's this or next year, most likely next. And, yeah, take care of all the stuff that you did. Last year you mentioned about not having pieces in places. The biggest need was a second wide receiver, and they really never got one all season long, even though they flirted with a lot of them. So fix all of that. Fix your defensive line. Fix the cornerback. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. And in this draft, I think they could do that.
Yes. And you've even got a nice you got three wide receiver sets now because Austin really accelerated his career last year. I thought he played very well last year.
Oh, Austin. No question about that. He was one of those guys you could rely on. He doesn't drop things. He's still fast enough to get open, and he's a good complimentary guy once you get – So what do you think about Pickens then? Have you
Pickens. You're in an arms race. You keep Pickens. You're in an arms race. The two wide receivers are sitting up there in Cleveland aren't going – I mean, in Oakland – I mean, Cincinnati's not going anywhere. You know the kind of offense you're dealing with down there in Baltimore. I mean, they whatever the Steelers hex they used to have over Jackson isn't there anymore. So now you got to compete with him. So you keep the two wide receivers. That opens everything up on your running game. You draft you a nice run, another running back in the later rounds. But you, what you have to fix is you can't have that humiliation that you faced when you saw Baltimore and they ran up almost 600 yards on you rushing. That can't happen.
No, and it happened too frequently last year. It wasn't just that game. There were a lot of games in which they got, you know, look at the Jets game back when they were here. You know, it became a little too easy to run against the Steelers, and that's why the defensive line spot has to be addressed first and foremost. So if you're a betting man, are you taking defensive line first round, cornerback,
Yes. Running
back, wide receiver? What are you doing? Because I've heard people make a case for running back, and I'll never take a running back again.
I'm taking defensive line first round. I'm taking a defensive line in the third round. I'll get my running back and quarterback in the fourth and fifth, and that's how you got to deal with it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Unless they can somehow now, if they trade Pickens and get an additional pick, I would hope it would be a second rounder. Although I don't know how many people are going to go. Although he had big numbers last year and he's still very young, so you might be able to get somebody to do that. So you are of the belief though, because you called it an arms race, Anthony, that what Cincinnati did was the right thing to do, sign both of their wide receivers. Because I disagree with that move. I would have signed Chase, not Higgins.
You saw what they did offensively, Bob.
They did defensively, too. They can't stop anybody.
But they're going to go young. They're going to go the Kansas City route. They're going to go young on defense. Kansas City has proven when they traded that their top wide receiver away to Miami that they went young on defense once they gave Mahomes all that money. So you have to spend the money somewhere. They decided to spend on offense. Cincinnati has. You got to go young defense, and you just got to hope you draft right.
Well, that's a big hope. If you don't get that right, then you can have a young and a battered defense. And Cincinnati, the one thing they're going to have to do is score a lot of points this year, because I don't see that defense getting any better, especially if they don't deal with Hendrickson. So that'll be something to watch. Anthony, thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Always appreciate your call at 412-928-9370. And by the way, we have a number. Matt looked up on Paul Skeens. If you're looking at prop bets, 209.5 strikeouts is the bet over or under that you could place on Paul Skeens. That 10 wins seems weird to me that it would be that low, but they must look at the Pirate offense and think they're not going to score a lot of runs here. That's the only conclusion I can make, or that potential injuries. But again, how do you factor that in? No one really knows. 412-928-9370. I think Anthony had some good points there, and I'd agree with just building up things around you. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles and what they did, they just loaded up on defensive and offensive line. They won because of trench success. They had people who can move people. They had people who can stop people. That's fundamental football, and that's what has to happen. And the Steelers over the years have done that well. That's been a calling card. You have to do that. So I believe defensive tackles will be very, very high on their list going into this draft, both in the first and third round potentially. Although, again, I see the end of George Pickens. If it's not this year, it'll be at the end of this year for next year. If you get a chance at a good wide receiver in the first round, because it is deep in wide receivers, I would have to consider that as well. You can never have enough of those kind of players, especially since last year you found out without a good number two, it can leave you in a real difficult situation to try to move the ball down the field through the air. So that's going to be their situation. We wonder about trades going in. We wonder about what they're going to have. And if it's just this next year, they're going to have at least three compensatory draft picks, which gives them flexibility to do much more when it comes to deal making. So I still think that'll be the year that they draft someone. I know that some of these quarterbacks in the first round are intriguing. I also know that they're not guaranteed. I would probably wait until middle rounds before I draft someone this year. If he emerges and develops, fine. If not, then I'll redraft the position next year. I don't think there's any harm in redrafting the quarterback position, considering we've just seen something that we very seldom see here in Pittsburgh, and that is back-to-back years of rotating quarterbacks and an entire room changing 2 years in a row. That's just, you never see that. But we've seen it. So now we know they're in a situation where they need to fix it. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We will continue here at hour number two, take more calls for you. Again, the number is 412-928-9370. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pump. We have much more to get into. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament, some of your picks, who do you like, more Steeler conversation as well as the Pirates beginning their season. What is your expectation of the Pittsburgh Pirates? Mine would be on the high end, 82 wins. On the low end, 76 wins, somewhere in between. That seems to be where they are every year. And unless they do something to address their hitting, and hopefully their hitting will improve naturally with some of these young guys that they have, I mean, that's the easiest way to solve the situation. But if it doesn't, then they're going to have to go out and do something maybe at the trade deadline if they're close. We'll see. 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show. We roll on after this short break on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, it's hour number two of the program right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Matt Harkins is out. He left the building. Joel Nelson is in. Line change. Joel, how are you today? Doing okay?
Excellent, Bob. Just got back from Cleveland after spending the day watching the games there yesterday.
And you saw some pretty good – you saw Robert Morris. I thought, you know, when they went up, I think it was 65-64, that they were going to win that game. Or at least, you know, the pressure's on the higher seed for sure, or the lower seed, whatever you – number two always gets that ball. You don't want to be there if you're Alabama, but they did play their best basketball at that point on.
They might have been, like, the best 15 seed to you know, performance-wise – yesterday, they hung in very, very well against that really tough, high-octane Alabama team yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was just a marquee season for Andy Toole and the Robert Morris Colonials. They win the Horizon League regular season, they win the conference tournament, and then they go and give Alabama all they could handle. So it was close all the way. They took the lead, and then it lasted for less than a minute before Alabama got it back. But it forced Alabama to play their best basketball at a critical time, which they did. A lot of 15 seeds in that business, you know, don't. They panic. We saw that here when, way back when, Fang Mitchell and Coppin State beat South Carolina. And we've seen it in other 2-15 matchups as well. The recipe to success is just keeping it close late in the game. If you can somehow do that, the pressure then gets a little bit tough on those teams that are expected to win. 412-928-9370 is the number. Open calls all the way to 1 o'clock here today, so if you'd like to chat about anything in the way of NCAA tournament or the Steelers or the Pirates season beginning, please let me know. So far in this tournament, I thought St. Francis had the best game. You know, and they look for those one shining moments to fill out that video. Well, so far they haven't had too many of them. St. Francis lost on a buzzer beater. I thought they played a heck of a game against Alabama State, and they lost 70-68. One of the more unpredictable endings that you will see, it was a tie game. Alabama State goes to the line. They miss it, so St. Francis gets a rebound with a chance to win the game. They then turn it over, and then Alabama State, seconds later, turns it right back over. St. Francis turns it over again. They had like three turnovers in a span of 10 seconds, and so Alabama State has to inbound from underneath their own basket, throw it the length of the court, and somehow in 2.7 seconds get a score, and they did. Luckily for them, they did. It was kind of a weird play, but that was the best game so far in terms of excitement that you've seen in this NCAA tournament. Quite frankly, the number one, the number two, the number three, the number four seeds, all of them have won. None of those teams have been upset so far. Big game today that I'm interested in is Patino and St. John's against Calipari and Arkansas. That one will be fun to watch. 412-928-9370. Back to the lines we go, and keep coming. The lines are open for you right now. Jenny in McKeesport joins us. Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
This afternoon, actually.
Well, whatever you want it to be.
It's just not a nice day out there because you can't hit the golf course today. It's too windy, too cold.
Yeah, well, that's why you look for the simulators. Go to this place I really like called Nine Yards Golf Lounge. They do it well down there. Yeah. You can watch sports and hit and play any course you want.
I'll tell you what, Bob. That's a nice place. I'm one of their vendors.
Oh, good.
And, and I put them on board, you know, I guess it was about a year ago that they opened up. It is a nice place, very nice.
They're going to open up another one in Ross Township, too, so.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, soon.
Under the same owner? Is that a franchise, Bob, or is that?
No, it's not. He's being aggressive with it, and, you know, golf's a big hot topic these days. A lot of people like to play.
Yeah, they do. It's gotten hot since COVID again. It was real cold before that,
yeah.
You know, but COVID brought it back. Yeah. Hey, Bob, you know what I'm going to comment on? That fella called in here, I guess, I don't know, maybe a half an hour or so, and he was saying that the over and under on Skeens' wins this year, total wins, what did he say, 10.5?
Yeah, but I think that's low, but he said he was out there in Vegas and he made the bet, which is a good bet if it's that low.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I'll tell you what. I looked that up immediately because I was heading down the rivers. I was going to head down the rivers and put 2K on it right now. And actually, when I pulled it up at 11 and a half.
I'd still make that bet.
Yeah, I think he can get to 12.
I mean, he is obviously in need of offense. All pitchers are, because he's going to keep that team in just about every game he pitches. That's what we saw last year, and I think we'll see more of that this year. So it's about how they respond and how they come up with hits in critical situations. And if they do that, he'll get wins. If not, he'll get a lot of no decisions.
Well, he's going to get a lot of no decisions because, you know, they're only going to let him go six, maybe seven.
No, they will. They will. I bet you he's
–
I bet you he goes over 200 innings fairly easily.
Okay, that would be good. Anyhow, I was going to say, if that was 10.5, okay, that is a gimme beyond a gimme. So, but like I say, I saw it, I pulled it up online. What I saw on the one book was 11.5, but I think you're right. I still.
Well, generally, what are you bullish on them or pessimistic on them or right in the middle like every year between 76 and 80 wins?
That's about it, Bob. 76 to 80. I can't see them. I mean, they have no punch, man. They have no bats.
Well, what has to happen is that guys like Henry Davis have got to catch fire and suddenly realize the potential and bring it here on a semi-regular basis. They need to keep Brian Hayes to finally show some consistent offense. These are a lot of ifs, mind you, but I'm just telling you, if you get it. I think Joey Bart has shown he can be a good player for them. He has some long ball potential, and it's carried over into the spring. If Spencer Horwitz, again, if Spencer Horwitz can, you know, do some damage over there at first base when he gets in there, I think potentially you can see this team being better than what people think. And again, I think the Central Division of the National League is not all that good.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, everyone's been saying that for the last 3 or 4 years. But somehow or another, Milwaukee finds a way to get the 93, 94 wins every year.
Yeah, they do a good job. Yes, they do.
Okay.
They lose players and they replace players.
Yeah, they do. They got a good system. So I've been hearing this for the last 3 or 4 years. Oh, the division is weak. It's weak. You know, if you can get the 84, 85, 86 wins, you know, you could win a division. That hasn't been the case if you checked in the last 3 or 4 years, Bob. Milwaukee's had over 85 wins. They were around 88 or 90, I think, last year, weren't they?
Yeah, and they do it again by losing people, but also going out and developing. They have some guys in their system that certainly have developed. And, you know, I'm looking at some of these records here that I see, and if you get to 90 wins, you're pretty much guaranteed to get in some sort of playoff.
Absolutely.
Depending on your division, it may not be as a division winner, but most likely it will be. I mean, that's the way things are going right now. So somehow, if they could figure out a way to get some clutch hitting from somebody, and I'm not sure who that's going to be. I expect Cruz to have a 30-30 year. I think it's time for him. I'm still not sure how they're going to play their outfield, though, you know, other than Reynolds and Cruz. Is Jack Sawinski going to be that guy?
There's a lot of gray areas there, Bob, and a lot of ifs. But who knows? That's why they play the game.
All right, Kenny, thanks. Appreciate the call. Man. We'll see how it goes. But if Jared Jones is capable of being in there at some point and it's not season-ending, again, we don't know the extent of this injury. We certainly don't have an announcement, so nothing's been official. But they have to, at some point this week, I would imagine, make this official one way or the other that he's going to be on the rotation to start, or he's going to need rest, or he'll need something more than that. So aside from that, you know, I wonder about a guy like Thomas Harrington. He's been down there. He pitched well the other day. He's been one of those guys knocking on the door. He's never really had an opportunity, and this injury could afford him one. And if he comes in and does well, that, because I don't think they're going to bring Chandler up right now. I think they'll wait on him, much like they did with Skeens. If he's capable of doing it, if he knocks on the door enough and he's, you know, pitching lights out, they could do that at some point, but it won't be at the start of the season. 412-928-9370. So if you have a Pirate prediction, whatever it may be, over and I'll take the over and under in strikeouts for Paul Skeens. It's 209. I'll go over on that. If that win total is 10 or 11, I'll go over on that too. I'm bullish on those two numbers. Injuries notwithstanding. That always throws a wrench in everything and something you certainly can't predict. All right, NCAA tournament. You start looking at some of these results. You say to yourself, all right, these teams, Houston looks really good. All the number ones look really good. it's easy to get into that chalk mentality where all you do is put the best players, best teams, and you make them go. At some point, you get upsets along the way. We only saw seven upsets in the first 2 days of this. And some of these upsets are not really upsets, too. They were close calls to begin with, but the team that was not favored won. In previous years, we've seen as many as 10 or 11 in the first 2 days of this tournament. So today would be interesting. A lot of pretty good matchups going on there, and McNeese State got in on a surprise. That was probably the most outlandish result that we've seen so far. So what will happen on day number two, and will the chalk team still move on? I think so. I think some of these teams are just good enough and better than the teams are up against that I think you'll see that happen today. But again, I want to see Patino and Calipari go at it. I just think that's an interesting matchup. Two legendary coaches, two different programs. What Rick Pitino has done, every time he goes to a place, six different times he's taken a team that was not very good and under 500. First year success, second year NCAA tournament, and then, you know, he's turned them into really good schools, really good basketball schools. He's done that in St. John's, so we'll see if he can continue to do that throughout this tournament. And it's a good test today against Arkansas and John Calipari. 412-928-9370. Also mentioned the Penguins last night. I don't know if you saw the game and you saw that fight. Olivier is a really good heavyweight fighter for Columbus. And Boko Imama went up. You know, they fought once before somewhere, I remember. But I'm not sure if it was a regular season game or a preseason game. Probably preseason. They went at it again last night. And I thought he held his own. And he, you know, it seems like the benches come to life whenever that happens. And the Penguins played some pretty good hockey after that. Now, through the course of this game against Columbus, they weren't that good. I thought Columbus had the better of the territorial play. They had 48 shots on goal. You never like to see that. But Nedeljkovic played a really good game, made some key saves when he absolutely had to. That third period started the way the Islander game started the other day. Penguins up 5-2 last night. Immediately, within a first minute or so of the third period, they gave up a goal. It was quicker than that in the Islander game. So you thought, okay, third period implosion, what's going to happen here? But they played well, and again, it was mostly Nedeljkovic who did it. But he did not get the number one star of the game. It was was Boko Imama. He also had a goal. He was one assist away from the Gordie Howe hat trick. He didn't get it. But when you do that, you make points with your team and certainly with your head coach. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Also tonight, it's the Riverhounds opening up against Hartford. The Riverhounds are a team that has made the playoffs seven consecutive years. Now it's a case of some unfinished business. They want to go deep into the playoffs, if not win the whole thing. And they're in a pretty good spot to do that. They have some very good talent. They upgraded their offensive side of this, although it hasn't shown in the first two matches they played. They're 0-1-1. Hartford comes to town. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff over at Highmark Stadium. It's also fireworks night. So if you're in the area and want to check out the game and some fireworks, that's certainly a good time to do it. But I expect them to do well in the USL's Eastern Conference. Riverhounds Hartford today at 7. As I said earlier, too, want to give a shout-out to Penn State on their wrestling program. It's pretty amazing that they've done this year after year, mostly consistently. Kale Sanderson has been terrific at recruiting players, developing players. They've won Division I men's championship 12 out of 14 years, and this year they're closing in on their fourth straight one. Again, they've had 10 All-Americans. They were 20 for 20 in their first 20 matches of this tournament. So Penn State continues to put out an excellent wrestling team. And Pitt has one too. And Max Stout took on his brother. The first time brothers went head-to-head. That had to be tough on the Stout family. Guys from Mount Lebanon. And he is a Pitt All-American at 197. So some good things happening there in the wrestling part of things. Also, one other thing, getting back to what Anthony brought up in the Steeler conversation. You know, look at the Steelers' cornerbacks, and I still have concerns. I know Darius Slay is someone who's had success. He's been a six-time Pro Bowler, but he's 34 years old, and it seems like while he'll be certainly capable of doing what he does in helping Joey Porter, you still need a lot of depth there. They brought back James Pierre the other day. They have guys who've been around, but they're not necessarily – they're more special teams guys than they are cornerbacks and people who can help. I want to see them go out and actually get somebody in this draft if it's possible. It may not be without a second-round pick. But someone who can come in and be. Now, Corey Trice is someone that they drafted in the seventh round after his stock fell because of injury. But he's a guy who could emerge as somebody. He's big, lanky. He had some good plays. He made an interception. You might remember of Mac Jones in that Denver game last year. He's a guy I would expect to jump up a little bit this year. But even so, you got to have more depth at that position. It is a key position on a defense that has been not so good in key moments of big games over the last couple of years. So we'll see how they do. But and that draft's going to be very interesting to me to see what they do in that first round. Number of ways they can go, which includes quarterback. And this is something now that has played out year after year for the last 2 years. Total redo of quarterback rooms. We haven't seen that from the Pittsburgh Steelers over the years. But they're in that situation now. It's imperative that they go out and find someone here this or next year who can be that next guy. And they got to hit on that next guy. It's got to be someone who can come in and play rather quickly. And if it takes moving up in the draft to do it, then so be it. They'll have supplemental and compensatory picks next year because of the guys they've lost in this year's free agent market. So you could do some wheeling and dealing more so next than this year, I think. But if someone's available or close by, and if they feel like one of those guys is somebody they believe in and high on their board, then you might see him make a move early in first round. But I don't think that's going to happen this year. 412-928-9370 is the number. Call us. Air your opinions. We'll take a short break. Come back with more up until 1 o'clock. It's the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I want to remind you, the Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, the big news yesterday was that the New York Giants signed a quarterback, but it's not who you think. It was Jameis Winston, who got a 2-year deal for $8 million. All right. This includes incentives, apparently, that could actually push the value to double that at $16 million. Now, the Giants have also had interest in Aaron Rodgers, in Russell Wilson. So now the question is, what does this deal mean for the Giants? Does that mean they rule out those two? I doubt it. I still think they're interested. And also keep in mind, they have the third overall pick in the upcoming draft. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. And by then, I would imagine they would add on to their quarterback rotation with somebody else. Who will that be? I don't know. And does his signing mean that they're not interested anymore in Russell Wilson? And what happens to Russell Wilson if this all goes and he doesn't have a job at the end of it? Does he retire? Does he wait? Rodgers may do that as well. He may decide that he's just going to wait on an opening. And you know there are openings with injuries. So this is something to keep an eye on, certainly, with a quarterback talk that seems to never end and never having a conclusion. Rodgers came to town yesterday, as many of you know. He stayed here for 6 hours and yet did not leave with a deal. And I thought the fact that he was flying in here meant that something was going to get done, right? That's a natural conclusion you would make because they had to have been talking. They had to have made an offer. Obviously they did. So he knew all about that. He also knows enough about what goes on here. And yet he leaves without a deal. So I'm not sure how to read that. How do you read it at 412-928-9370? Do you think that the Steelers still want him, that he's still interested in them, that it'll get done? Or does he go to the Giants, or does he wait? Does he retire? These are all questions that are continuing to drag out because he's not making a decision. So I would imagine now he's back in a dark place trying to figure out what he's going to do next after spending time here in Pittsburgh. 412-928-9370. In the meantime, Steelers still have to do, I think, a little bit more on their offensive line in terms of another pick at some point or free agent signing at some point. Because Broderick Jones is moving from right to left. That's going to be a huge part of what happens with any quarterback, but especially one who does not have the mobility as Rodgers does not have right now. So you're going to have to make sure he's really good. And last year at right tackle, he gave up, I think it was 12 sacks. So that's a concern. You're also getting a guy in Troy Fautanu coming in for the first time playing after being injured last year at right tackle. Is he going to move right in and be that lockdown guy you want over there at right tackle? You have a lot of young guys who've spent a lot of draft equity on offensive line. Two number ones, a number two, a number four. They've lost James Daniels. He's gone on to another team. They lost Dan Moore, and that's something I think we all expected. You may not have expected the price tag that he got. $82 million, good for Dan Moore, but man, that is a lot of money to give to a guy who gave up 14 sacks last year. But that's how desperate Tennessee is. But is, again, if you know Dan, have met him, he's just a tremendous guy, and I wish him all the best, and good for him. He got the money more so than I thought, but he got it. So that's going to be a concern for whoever is the quarterback. What happens to your left tackle and your right tackle? Now, on the other side of the ball, you have to worry about how they stop guys in the run game. And the Steeler run defense has not been as good as they wanted it to be with all the money they've spent on it. You still need guys. They've gotten rid of Ogunjobi. He gets an $8 million one-year deal with Buffalo. He was kind of hit or miss. He really didn't do all that much. The biggest problems they've had are some of the guys they've drafted have just not done the job. And that would be guys like Isaiah Loudermilk. I know he was a fifth-round pick, but they moved up in that pick to get him. And he hasn't done it. He only has one career sack. You expected more than that. DeMarvin Leal is another one. They drafted. They expect big things. Have not got them. Keanu Benton shows me spark. Then there are times I wonder where he is. You know, I need to see more consistency. I'm sure they do too. So these are all things that they're going to have to improve upon in this draft. 412-928-9370. Let's go back to the lines. Tim is in the car, and now he's on the Fan. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Mine is more a question. When did our sports teams stop listening to their fans? We're dancing with Aaron Rodgers, and there's been multiple polls out there that it's been 75% or greater that they did not want to do this trade. And then we have a baseball team that has been screaming for a bat, and they refuse to make any kind of commitment to a long-term bat for that team. Don't they listen to the fans anymore?
Oh, sure they do. I think they have... They are aware of what people say, believe me. They may not tell you that, all these teams, but they certainly are aware of what public court has to say, the opinion in those courts. And you're right, those opinions often are not what you see. Not that they, you're never, as an owner of a team or a GM, you shouldn't listen to anybody but the people you have and you employ. Are you aware of discontent among the fan base? Sure. Are you aware of your shortcomings? Absolutely. They know that. But they have to make the best decisions that they can do based on everything they're dealing with. And the fans can sit here and say, oh, you want, I don't want Aaron Rodgers. But if they see something in Aaron Rodgers that can help them this year, because the one thing I know about the Steelers is they don't like bridge years. They don't look at bridge years. A lot of us might, and it may turn out to be a bridge year, but they're not looking at it that way. They want to do it as best they can to try to win. And they've won, but they haven't won in the playoffs. So as far as the Pirates, that's just a long-standing thing that they're just – I mean, it's pretty clear Bob Nutting is not going to spend money other than what he needs to spend, and that's a shame. He more than any of them, has not listened to what the fans are saying. And it's not just fans. I think it's people who follow the game. It's insiders, other GMs and other teams who have been anonymous in saying certain things. So, but at the same time, I mean, he's ultimately the guy who controls the purse strings, and if you're not – in a position. I also think economics, I've said this forever too, Tim, if you listen to me, the economics of baseball are not good in terms of making everything equitable for all teams. It certainly caters to those who have big market money and big television money in their own markets.
It also caters to the managers that essentially tank, don't pay money, and they still put money on the bottom line.
Well, again, the system will allow that because they get a lot of stuff nationally with all these teams. But they're not obligated to spend anything if they don't want to. That's why baseball, to me, unless they get something that resembles a floor and a cap, and doesn't have, even if it's sort of a soft cap, but at least a floor to make people spend, you should be obligated to spend a certain amount of money. And if you're not, then what's the point of you having a team?
Very true. Thanks for your time.
All right, man. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Now we're headed set out to Turtle Creek. We got Rob out there. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, Bobby?
How you doing?
Rainy day, just doing some chores. Hey, question for you. I know in my professional life, I talk to other people in similar positions. I'm just wondering, do you think there's any chance that, say, Russell and Aaron Rodgers get on the phone and say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah,
no.
Do you think that happens?
No, I don't. No, and I don't even think... No, I don't think that's happening at all. I heard someone this week suggest that
their heads are too big?
Both the Giants and the Steelers ownership get together and set a deadline. They don't do it. Nobody talks like that. They're not going to do it. You could be friendly, but when it comes to business, you have your own agenda, and you're not going to share it with those other people.
Well, there's a not sharing, and then there's a just trying to feel each other out. So, you don't have to share everything. you can talk.
I think short of, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Wish you well. I don't think you're going to get specifics. Aaron Rodgers is not going to call Russell Wilson and say, hey, what have you heard, and how much are they offering you? He's not going to tell you.
These guys got – I guess they got too big of heads. You know, once they get into that realm, they're just you know, it's all about me, and I give a crap about you and you know, what's best for the both of us. Maybe we could work a little bit together, but that ain't going to happen, I guess.
No, not at all. And I just think it's a case where I think mostly Rodgers just still doesn't really know what he wants. And if it goes this far when you really don't know what you want, it sounds to me like you're getting toward the point of retirement, or I'm just going to wait and see. And if there's an opportunity later in the season and someone may need me, it's a shorter year. I don't have to go through 8 OTAs, mini camps. That's one thing about him. He did not do that in New York. And I would imagine that's something the Steelers would want him to do, since it is a new team, a new bunch of new people. I wouldn't want my quarterback here during these voluntary and involuntary things that I have to go through. He may not want to do that.
I've always looked at Aaron Rodgers as an enigma, because you look at his body and you're just like, how does he do it? I mean, you know, it just doesn't look like he could throw the ball possibly the way he does.
Oh, he flexes it with that wrist. He puts some. He's got an amazing arm, and it's accurate when it's on, and it's also filled with a lot of velocity. And it doesn't look like he's doing it. It looks effortless.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the same, you know. It's
and I don't doubt he can still
do
that, by the way. I don't doubt that Aaron Rodgers, if he's protected the correct way, can still operate an offense that could be high scoring. I still think he can do that. I think that's in his what's left in the toolbox. The mobility, and if it comes down to the offensive line just crashing around him, then it's not going to work.
I think, you know, in the same way with baseball, when I watch Andrew McCutchen bat, I mean, to me, it's his eyes and his wrist. He's amazing. I mean, I think the guy has been really amazing. I don't know why more, you know, hitters don't try to follow that pattern. I don't get it. I think some guys are just muscle heads. They think they're going to go up there and muscle the ball, you know, and it's a little bit of finesse. You know, they put a little bit of finesse, they could probably up their batting average by 50 points.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's little stuff that matters. Plate awareness more than anything. Rob, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. At 412-928-9370. Bloomfield is our next destination. Mike is on the line. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Pomp. I was just going to say, I think we're going to end up with Russell Wilson, because I don't think the Steelers will pay Aaron Rodgers that money. And I think Mason Rudolph's going to beat him in training camp.
So you really think that after all of this, that Russell Wilson, and if he does come here, it'll be, to me, it reeks of last resort. Like, if they wanted him, they could have done this 2 months ago. If they wanted either of Fields or Russell Wilson, and they chose Fields over him. So that's the first indication that they weren't really interested. And then all of this time has gone on, and still no offer to him from them. And they know, yeah, he knows, his agent knows that they're dealing with Aaron Rodgers. So that would be kind of awkward, wouldn't you say?
I think so. I think the Steelers are in like a prom-type situation where they just didn't get what they wanted, and they're going to end up with what they get.
Well, it could be neither, too. Yeah. And if it's neither, then you enter the Joe Flacco sweepstakes, you know? Somebody out there who just – he's a body who can help you as a backup maybe. But if this if this goes on, I still think it's just they're going to ride with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, Pomp, it's a big day as an Italian-American. I feel like you should be out there interviewing Calipari and Patino, asking them what they're wearing beforehand, what they're eating beforehand, and like me.
I think I know the answer to the eating. I did a banquet once. Both of them were in attendance, and it was really interesting to talk to both of them. I don't think they're the best of friends, but I think they have a respect for one another.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. I wonder what they're like personally, and like me, hopefully they got higher, unfortunately, higher LDL cholesterol levels. We come out of the womb with it.
Yeah, I will attest to that. All right, Mike, thank you. I appreciate that. You always get some good, fine Italian eateries out there in Bloomfield, Pennsylvania. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. So I want to mention this before we go to a break and call. We'll have open lines until 1. And then it's Austin Bechtold taking you through the afternoon with Joel Nelson here behind the glass. It's almost that time to feed the need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. On March 25th, that's this Tuesday, Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon will raise money to provide meals to our neighbors in need. All you have to do is text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155, or go to the Metropolitan Window Company online donation center And your donation will provide meals locally. It's brought to you now by Rome Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, Memorial Highway, Chevrolet, and Aetna. All the details at 937thefan.com. We had a kickoff, Joe and I did last week. We went out to the baseball card castle, and Jeff Patton did a wonderful job. What a class organization they are. Some great stuff if you're interested in card collection, not just that, but helmets, all sorts of sports memorabilia. Check it out. But he himself gave $1,000. I think for the day we raised $9,000. So thank you, Jeff Patton, Baseball Card Castle, with a little assist from Domenico's, Ron Cook's favorite dining place when he was here. We'll take a break. 412-928-9370. Get your calls in right now. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, back rounding third, heading home for this edition of the program. Joel Nelson's been kind enough to be back there, manning the ones and the twos as we begin what should be a very interesting basketball weekend as well. So we'll keep you up to date if there's anything new on Aaron Rodgers, but so far nothing. He left town, and I'm not sure if there's chance that we'll hear any kind of news or not over the next couple of days. And I would think the longer it goes, the worse chance. If you want Aaron Rodgers, then I think that may not be happening. But then the question is, what happens after that? We'll see. Some of the games today that you'll be watching, Auburn and Creighton. Auburn is an 8.5-point favorite over Creighton. Watch out for Creighton. They're a pretty good basketball team, and they have this ability as a 9 seed to knock off some teams. And this could be one of them. Auburn's very good. They're very, very deep. They're also very old. In fact, I saw a stat where they are actually older than the Oklahoma City Thunder of the NBA roster. So they have guys who've been around, lots of transfers, guys in their probably 8th or 9th years, the way things go in college hoops today. Michigan and Texas A&M. Now, that's an interesting one. We'll see what happens there. What else we got here today? What do you think about Drake? Drake's a team that I watched him play a little bit. I don't know what to think of them. I thought maybe they could be a team that goes on a long run, surprise people. Alabama will get St. Mary's. So that'll be one to watch. We saw Alabama in action against Robert Morris, and they came on strong at the end. Duke is the only ACC team left here. They have Baylor coming up, and that'll be a tough matchup for them. But they do have Cooper Flagg back. He played in their first round game. So we'll see what happens there. Purdue right now is leading McNeese State 27-11. That's a 4-12 matchup. McNeese State with the big upset in that first round game. UCLA-Tennessee will be a good matchup as well. Tennessee is a good team from the SEC. The SEC had 14 teams in. They have gone 8-6 in their first 14, so 6 teams already out. UCLA is a team that I'm not really high on, so I think Tennessee should win that game. Kentucky and Illinois will be a good matchup. That's coming up tomorrow. And Illinois is a team, they got a center who can shoot threes like the best of them. He's one of the best in the college game at doing that. And he did it last night. Kentucky's one of those teams that you have to really watch. I give them credit. Calipari left. They restocked the kitchen, man. They went out and got as much as they could, and they're now a 3 seed in this tournament. So Houston-Gonzaga is another one. Gonzaga is a team that everyone thought as a 8 seed, not having a great year. St. Mary's was the team in that conference this year. But, man, they came up with a big win the other day. Are they capable of beating the high-powered Houston team led by Kelvin Sampson? Houston is a 4.5-point favorite in that game, so we'll keep an eye on all those games for you. Again, I think basically Robert Morris really acquitted themselves well yesterday in Cleveland. They were in that game until the very end and had the lead with 6 minutes left. Randy in Mount Pleasant is on the line right now. He'd like to talk some sports with us. What's up, Randy? How are you?
Hey, Bob. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a big Pirate fan. Since 1966, when I was 9 years old. So that shows you how old I am. I'm a baby boomer like you, but an older one. But the 2 trades the Pirates made, I think they're going to regret. The Ortiz trade, I thought he'd start coming on. This guy they got, I just don't see any, I don't know.
Well, he had a pretty good year last year, Spencer Horwitz in Toronto. He's being blocked over there at first base. So he that was a guy that was needing an opportunity, and the Pirates came and gave him one.
And then the other one, you have more faith in his bullpen than me. What, Chapman wanted to stay.
Should have signed him. Should have brought him back, absolutely.
They should have. Two years. So them two trades. And then you mentioned my team. I've been telling my friends, Drake Bulldogs going to be the surprise team in this tournament.
Well, we'll see. I mean, so far there haven't been many surprises. I thought there would be by this point, but not so much.
They came in with 30 wins. I don't understand. They won their conference. I think they won the tournament. And I don't understand this seeding sometime. Maybe they were seeded 11th. With that type of record and what they won, why would you seed them 11th?
Again, it's just because of they're not in one of those power conferences that get most of the attention. So
I guess you're right.
It's just like Robert Morris winning the Horizon. You know, I thought they'd get a better seed in the 15th seed, but they got the 15th seed. Last year, Oakland won that same exact conference and got a 14th seed.
I want to see, I'm not a real big golf fan, but I would come and pay you and Starkey facing off against each other.
In what? Golf?
Golf.
Yeah, well, that can be arranged.
Oh, that would, you know what? Charge and go to charity. All funds go to charity. I'm serious. I think we could get a big crowd there because I think you'd whip up on Starkey when it comes
well,
down.
Well, that's not fair. I've been playing golf for all my life. He's just started, so you got to. He's come a long way, though, Randy. He has. Give him credit
for
that.
I just had to make a jab at him. Hey, have a great weekend,
you
and
too,
your family.
Randy. Thank
hey,
you.
How's the woodpecker
that.
Doing? How's
nope,
the woodpecker?
Don't bring that up. He's long history. I haven't talked about a woodpecker in many months. Hopefully, I won't have to.
I'll see you, Bob.
All right, man. Take care. Let's go to Chris on line two, and he's on the road. Chris is on the road. Now he's on the air.
Hey,
Chris. Hey,
Bob. Thanks for taking my call, man. First time calling to your show.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
How are you doing today, bud?
Oh, it's dreary, but doing well, despite that.
Yeah. I just have a quick question. I've read in a couple different places that the Pirates are in debt. What's this have to deal with, and is there a chance of finally nutting selling the team because of it?
I don't believe that. They make money every year, even when they lose, so no, I don't think. I think, you know, did you see the sale of the Boston Celtics this week?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so
that was amazing.
The man bought it back in 2001 for, I think it was $360 million. Sold it this week for $6.1 billion. So if you look at sports and the valuations of these franchises, that's where the money really lies. And for Bob Nutting, when they acquired this franchise, it was in the $200 million range. I think it's worth $1.4 billion now. And that's without winning anything.
It makes no sense to me. I mean, the guy's not an idiot. He owns Seven Springs. He owns Wiggle Whiskey, right? So
he's a smart businessman. There is no doubt about that. But this is a different kind of business, I've said many times. You have to reinvest and keep reinvesting more so than you would in a normal business, I think. However, you don't have to because you still make money. The valuation, you're being dragged up. It's like, you know, tide brings all ships, it rises them. And that's the same thing in this. All these teams that make money, every valuation of these franchises goes up yearly, every year, despite what happens on the field.
It's just crazy to me because you would think as a smart businessman, you would know you got to spend money to make money. And if you spend money, it's not a guarantee you'll win, but it's more likely. And
well, they're counting on the system to work. And so far, this is just 6 years now of the Charrington regime. You need to see more people developing from your system and coming up here and becoming regular players. It's easy to pick Paul Skeens and see him assert himself as one of the best in the game. He was a number one overall pick. But number one overall pick, and Henry Davis has not yet. And then you get guys in the second, third, fourth, anywhere you can keep talent, you have to procure it, develop it, and it has to show up on this level. And if it doesn't, then, you know, you wouldn't have to spend crazy money if you did that the right way in your system.
Right. I mean, it's almost like they don't care. You know what I mean?
And I think they do care.
It's disheartening to see.
I think they do care. They want to win, but they're you know, they're not committing enough to it. So that's the problem they're in. Chris, thank you. I appreciate that. And we'll see if they can turn it around this year and at least get a sniff of a wild card, man. We're missing that kind of stuff. This will be 3 years in a row with no Penguins playoffs. The Steelers have been one and done when they've gotten in. And the Pirates haven't been back since that run of 13, 14, 15. James in the South Hills is on right now. Hello, James. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, I really enjoy your show. You really make a...
a difference in people's lives. I got to tell you that, man.
I don't know about that, but thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
Hey, I got to – I'm not sure if you've forgotten more about sports and baseball and pirate trivia than anyone probably around, but I wonder if you've ever heard of this. Only one player in Major League Baseball history has had an inside-the-park walk-off grand slam. Do you know who that would be?
Roberto Clemente?
Exactly. Very, very good. I mean, pretty good guess. But
yeah, but it's not happened at all. I think
it's only happened one time. Yeah. It happened on July 25th, 1956 at Forbes Field.
Yeah, I knew that. But, you know, I remember there have been a couple inside-the-park home runs that weren't grand slams. They were just, you know, two-run, whatever the case. That was, yeah, that's very unique. One of those things you may never see again.
Yeah, it's incredibly rare to be a grand slam, and to be a walk-off grand slam, that'll probably never happen again.
Well, we haven't seen a walk-off anything since Bill Mazeroski, really, right?
Well, another trivia question I nail people with all the time, when's the last time a Pittsburgh team won a championship in Pittsburgh? And you just said it, 1960.
None. Well, 1960, but none since then, right. I remember when the Penguins were trying to win against that San Jose team. It was game five here. They were up three games to one. They outperformed and dominated San Jose. And the reason I know this is because Bill Mazeroski was a special guest that night, and we were up in the box with him. We did an interview with him because he was the last guy to do anything on Pittsburgh soil to win on a walk-off or just win at home. That's never happened since. And that night, I thought they were going to win that game, but Martin Jones was a San Jose goaltender, and he just absolutely stood on his head and denied them. They had to go to San Jose, and they won it in game six.
Yeah, it would have been awesome to have something finally happen here since 1960. Yep. You know, the further it gets in the rearview mirror, I wasn't even born until 67, so I don't even remember it. You know, so
yeah, we need one of those for sure. But just get in right now is the mantra. You know, as far as winning.
Well, thanks, Bob. I really appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, James. Appreciate it. Let's go out to the South Hills again. That's two in the South Hills. We got Greg joining us right now. Hey, Greg.
Hey, hi, Bob. I just joined the program here, so listening. So I had Red Bayon's take on the Pirates. He did some reporting, investigating about, you know, the situation there. What's your take on that, sir?
Well, I think, first of all, he did a very good job, very thorough on that. But that's what I would expect from him. But I just think they don't put enough, bottom line for me when I look at everything, is they don't put enough into the Major League product. That's where I want to see the difference. You can tell me all you want about all the money spent trying to develop and different institutions that they have in different countries trying to, you know, get that young talent, develop it, and make it available. But it still comes down to what you put into your Major League roster. And all the proceeds that you get, I want to see a bigger percentage go there because that's how you change things at this level. If you're not developing people, you have to bring them in somewhere.
Do you think, I mean, according to Dayon, the percentage they put into their Major League roster is consistent with every other Major League team.
You're talking about free agent monies?
Salary.
Well, no, that's not consistent with every
Major League. Read the article again,
I did not take it that way. I look at the Major League roster as the number one thing that has to be taken care of. You have to put money into your roster. You can do that in a lot of ways. You can develop it, it's homegrown, and then sign it. Or you can, if that doesn't work, then you go out and spend money. They haven't done enough of that when it hasn't worked. And that's a two-pronged problem. When you don't develop, you have to go out and spend to compensate for the lack of talent you have at that level. That's all I'm saying. And I want to see more of that.
Well, here's my final thing. In the article, he said the percentage of the revenue allocated to the Major League roster is consistent with every other team in baseball. They just don't have as much to their percentage is in line. It's not lower than anybody else. It's not higher than anybody.
Well, then that's an economic indictment of baseball. They have to make a better system I believe that forever, and it's not going to change because for it to change, you'd have to have a work stoppage.
I'm with you. I just don't want it to be Bob Nutting's situation. It's not Bob Nutting's situation insofar as the money that he allocates to his roster based on his revenue. He's consistent with every other team. That's my point.
Okay, well, my point is they make money even when they lose. So that, to me,
They've lost money for the last 2 years, Bob.
I don't know if I believe that. That's the one thing I had a problem with.
Okay.
I know
he did the reporting. He did the investigation.
I know he did. But
I don't think they openly opened
the books. They don't show you everything there is to see. And while Dayon digs deep, I get it, does a fantastic job. I'm not disputing that. What I am saying is they're not going to show you every little thing they spend. And
I'm just saying he's the man that went after it, and that's what he found.
That's an indictment of baseball.
Went after it.
Baseball should do a better job of making sure people spend money and bringing more money to teams that don't have it. The local television monies are completely out of whack. When you look at some of the best markets out there with Arizona, with the Los Angeles Dodgers, New York, they all make so much money, and it's their money to keep. So there are things that have to be done to change the economics of baseball. But here, I would just like to still see them spend more money, even if it means losing more money. If they're truly losing more money, then lose more money. Because, again, at the end of the day, the valuation of your franchise keeps going up, and you're going to make money eventually when you sell it, if you ever do. All right, Greg, I'm up against it. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 412-928-9000. Noon. At 412-928-9370. Join us tomorrow night on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown, 1135 KDKA-TV. We'll tackle all these topics and more, and we'll see if there's a resolution, a conclusion to the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers drama, or will that continue to play out? That's all coming up tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again on Monday.